Today's sermon is titled, The Light That Leads to Jesus. It was written by Pastor Nathan Pfeiffer. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Here ends our reading. Please be seated. Dear fellow worshipers of the newborn King, Jesus Christ, today is a Christian holiday that is largely overlooked. Usually by this time, the hubbub and excitement of the Christmas season is over and done with. People have returned to their homes and their places of work. Many will begin the process of taking down their Christmas lights. Soon those colorful lights that have been brightening our homes on those long winter nights will be packed away. Most of those favorite Christmas hymns won't be sung again for another year. Another Christmas has come and gone. Yet on this day of the Christian calendar, Christmas is not ending. But in a way, it is beginning. 12 days after Christmas has long been celebrated as Epiphany. The word Epiphany means an appearance or manifestation. During this season of Epiphany, we will hear sections of Scripture that especially show the Epiphany of Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of all nations. On this day of Epiphany, we hear how the young Christ child was manifested to the Gentiles in the persons of the wise men. Even as they were led by a light to this newborn king, let us consider the light that leads us to Jesus. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten our hearts and minds by his holy word. I would venture to guess that most of us are pretty familiar with the account of the record that is recorded in our text today. Yet it is amazing how much has been added to these 12 verses of Scripture. How many wise men were there? What were the names of these wise men? What did their gifts represent? Were they really three kings, as the Christmas song goes? Scripture does not give us an answer to any of these questions. The most famous misconception about the wise men is that they visited the baby Jesus in the manger on the night he was born. This we can definitely reject as being false. We know they couldn't have visited the Christ child on the night of his birth because immediately following their visit, Joseph, Mary, and the child fled to Egypt. At the very least, we know Jesus was over 40 days old because he had been presented in the temple 40 days after his birth with Mary, where Simeon held him in his arms. Things which happened prior to the flight of Egypt and thus prior to the visit of the wise men. There are some things that which prove helpful to know about the wise men. The Magi were a sort of scientist of those days who might have served in the court of a king, much as Daniel did for King Nebuchadnezzar. One particular area of expertise for these wise men was the study of the stars. There is one star in particular which captured their attention and led them to travel afar. While east of Israel and the Jordan River, possibly in the Babylonian territory or modern-day Iraq, the wise men noticed the appearance of what they called his star. Almighty God, the creator of heavens and earth, and had announced the birth of his son with a special star. God divinely arranged things in such a way that the wise men saw his star and knew the king of the Jews had been born. God has done the same for us, hasn't he? He has divinely announced the birth of his son, our Savior. Only for us, he didn't put a star in the sky, but his word in the Bible. His word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. His word, which guides us to Jesus. While we may think it would have been neat to be one of the wise men visiting the Christ child, we are actually better off than they. Unlike that star, we have the full counsel of God in his word. God reveals his heart to us in his word. In his word, we also have the mystery of our salvation revealed in Scripture. As Peter writes, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." As the Magi head west for Jerusalem, they figured that if anyone knew where the king of the Jews was, it was his own people, the Jews. Arriving in Jerusalem, they began asking, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star when it arose and have come to worship him." Matthew records that when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. The reaction of Jerusalem must have seemed strange to the wise men. These Gentile wise men had traveled to the Jewish capital city to worship the newborn Jewish king. And rather than finding a city in celebration, they find a city that is literally shaken up at this news. This may seem odd, but it is not surprising. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, he records that the Word made flesh, Christ, Jesus Christ, came to his own, and his own did not receive him. This reaction of Jerusalem was a preview of what was to come for Jesus later on in his life. Hearing of the wise men's inquiry, Herod turns to the Jewish religious leaders for an answer. The chief priests and scribes knew well the prophecies of where the promised Messiah, the King of the Jews, was to be born. Quoting freely from the prophet Micah, they replied to Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" These men knew where to find the answer, the Old Testament scriptures. They knew where the Christ child was to be found, just 6 miles south of Jerusalem in Bethlehem. Yet they themselves don't care enough to see the child themselves. Not much has changed since the day when the wise men visited Jerusalem. The Bible is one of the most readily available books in our nation and in our world. Though read by man, it is largely ignored. Some are mistaken in thinking that mere head knowledge about the Bible or Jesus is sufficient, just as the chief priests and scribes did. But Jesus rightly says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Others, like Herod and Jerusalem with him, are troubled by what they hear in Scripture. They are troubled to hear that all men are sinners, incapable of getting to heaven on their own. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." John chapter 3, verse 19. The light that leads Jesus is shining, but many continue to ignore it and are troubled by it. After their secret meeting with Herod, the wise men leave for the city of David, Bethlehem. And who goes with them? No one. Though these Gentiles had traveled from afar to Jerusalem to worship the newborn king of the Jews, no Jews traveled the 6 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to see if the king had been born. When they departed alone, we are told, behold, the star that they had seen when it arose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Here we learn that this star, his star, is no ordinary astronomical event. The same star they had seen when they were out east reappeared. This star was divinely placed by God and moved contrary to all other fixed stars in the sky. The light of this star led them south, not merely to the city of Bethlehem, but the very house where the Christ child was. And when the star appears, we read that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Their journey was no mistake. God was clearly with them and leading them to the newborn king. Having been led by the star to the house where the young Jesus was, they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. How remarkable this sight is. A young child in his mother's arms. Yet with eyes of faith, they have no doubt what they are seeing, the promised king of the Jews. They fell down with their faces to the ground and worshiped this young child as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It kind of reminds us of the repentant thief on the cross, calling the bloody crucified Christ his king. With eyes of faith, they look beyond the externals and see their Lord and King. The faith of these wise men is not merely lip service. As was the custom in the East at those times, gifts were brought for this newborn king, costly treasures of gold, frankincense, and the spice of myrrh. Gifts which no doubt helped this young family as they flee from Herod's madness to Egypt. Like the wise men, we too were born Gentiles, not natural descendants of Abraham. Yet we learn from our text that the king of the Jews was not born only for Jews. No, God set a light in the sky to lead these Gentile wise men to the Jesus. God made sure that these Gentile representatives would know his son had been born and he'd led them to Jesus. As far as I know, there was no celestial event, no star that led you from your home to your pew this morning. So why are you here? What are you here to do? I pray each one of you, like the wise men, are here to worship the King. You too have been led here by a divinely given light. Just as God used the light of a star to lead those wise men to Jesus, God had used the light of his word to lead you to Jesus. Just as that star stood over the place where the young child was, all of Scripture stands over Jesus and shines light on him as the Savior of the world. Just as God worked a miracle for wise men with the star, God has worked a miracle in you through his word. It is through the light of his word that God led you to Jesus. Through his word, God came into your hearts and created faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Through the light of his law, he has shown you that you are a lost and condemned creature. As you confessed this morning, he showed you your desperate need for a Savior from your sins. And thanks be to God, he has not hidden that Savior from you. Through the light of his gospel, he has shown you your Savior from sin, Jesus Christ and him crucified. By this light, God has shown you that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Through the light of his word, God has led you to Jesus Christ. May you ever cherish the light which leads you to Jesus and never take it for granted or ignore it as Jerusalem did. May you ever follow the light of God's word as a lamp to your feet and a light to your path as you journey through this dark world. May you with the wise men be filled with exceedingly great joy, knowing that Christ Jesus came into the world to save you. Thanks be to God for this blessed epiphany. Amen.